thank you for your goodness, yet you have crowned us with glory and with honor. Thank you because your thoughts towards us are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give us an expected end. Thank you. Lord Jesus, King of Saints, you have made us heirs of God, heirs, co-heirs with Christ. Thank you, Father, because these things are true. Even if we haven't been experiencing them, there is nothing, O Lord God, Father, that you cannot do. And we thank you because you have taken us from where we are to where we ought to be. You have translated us from darkness into the kingdom of light. Thank you, Lord Jesus, because, Lord God, your blood speaks better things than the blood of Abel. You have come that may have life and have him abundantly. Lord, from moving from servants to princes to kings that will reign in life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this light that transcends, O Lord God, the darkness of the devil and the light of this world. Thank you, because this light dispels darkness, and the darkness doth not comprehend it. You are the living word. Thank you, because you are true. Yeshua, HaMashiach, Lion of the tribe of Judah, roaring out of Zion, saving us to the uttermost. We worship you, High Priest, because we know that this place will not leave this place the same we have come in. Rather, we will see your kingdom come and your will done in our lives as it is in heaven. Thank you, Holy Spirit, the three person, the third person of the Godhead, Triune Majesty, God, Holy Spirit, El Shaddai, the God that is more than enough, the revealer of the Christ, the exalter of the Christ. You take that which of the Father and of the Son, you reveal it unto us, and you build this into us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, because in this place you do great and mighty things. You will stretch us in your presence to be able to absorb more of your presence, more of your glory, more of your love, more of your truth that will set us free, more of your life, more of your light, more of your love, more of your goodness and your glory. Thank you, God, Holy Spirit, because you are the mighty God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, because you are the one that garnished the heavens. Thank you, because you will garnish our heavens. Our minds you will renew. Our bodies you will clean. Yes, you will flush out the sin, Lord God. You will save us, O Lord God, by your power. You will move us from where we are to where we ought to be. Thank you, God, Holy Spirit, the greater one that is in us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, as you ignite that fire of your revival, that fire of reformation, that fire of renewal of love, that fire, Lord God, of love for God that is unquenchable, Lord God, even at this time. We worship you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, wonderful God, Holy Spirit. King of Saints, have your way. Take your place. Mighty God, mighty ruler, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Let's take our seats in the presence of the Lord.
We worship you. We love you.
One more time.
Most we love you. We thank you. We bless you.
We love you,
Father.
We worship
you. First of
all.
Praise the Lord. Let's give it a clap offering in the presence of the Lord. We love you. We thank you, Father. Thank you for the privilege that we have to gather in your presence once again, Heavenly Father. We just bless your holy name. We pray that you'll have your way in this place in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'd like to welcome you once again to Zion City Fellowship, the Campus Outreach Arm of Scripture Pastor Christian Center, this beautiful Friday evening. As we begin to round off in the year, you know, as these weeks are counting down to the 52nd week. And I'm just thanking God for His goodness and His faithfulness, you know, and the opportunity that we have to gather in His presence. And so, we'll be going straight into the Word, but we do that before we go into that Word and interactive session. It's just going to be a continuation of what we started last week. I'd like to give you warm greetings from Pastor and Mommy. Let's give a couple of prayers for the fathers in the house. Thank God for Pastor and Mommy that are always praying for us. And the example, you know, that they live by the instruction and correction that comes from them. We don't take it for granted. Like we always do pray. They will see the travail of their souls and they will be satisfied in Jesus' name. They will know that they have not run nor labored in vain as the Christ is being formed in us and glorified in our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. That is the desire of a father, you know, when he sees his son and his daughter walking in truth. Like John said, you know, he brings gladness and rejoicing to them. I'm sure that this is going to happen in our lives and in their lives in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord.
And so we're going to continue, like we started last week, we're talking about prioritizing God, you know, putting God first, loving God first. I'm going to call Prof, you know, as we start and just continue. I know we already have questions, like we did last week. We encourage you to pen down your questions in the course of the word, the bringing of the word. And like once Prof is done, I believe I might share a few things. And then we're going to that interactive session. You know, we bless each other. The Bible says iron sharpens iron. You know, and so you might have something that God has dropped in your heart, you know, quick and short, but powerful, you know, and then we build each other up, you know, and then questions also will come in from our midst. Either you stand to ask your questions or you can write it down. And we also have people online, you know, people were dropping questions on WhatsApp as well as on Mixlr last week. So we encourage you to do the same, you know, send the questions forth. I know that we'll not leave this the way of coming. You know, that's what God always wants, to live greater in God, greater in love, to know who we are. So that's the most important thing. And function effectively in what God is saying about us through His Word. There's nothing else I can tell you about you but your manufacturer and your maker. And that's the living God. And the manufacturer's handbook He has given us is the Word. You know, and so let's just bow our heads as we go into this time of Word.
We bless your name. We come to your presence by the blood of Jesus. We come with reverence before your throne. Thank you for your blood that purges our hearts from dead works, from evil consciences, to serve with the living God. Father, we come under the covering of the apostolic and prophetic anointings of our fathers, under the apostolic and prophetic fathers of the church age, under you, the Almighty God, God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the privilege that we have to share your word, to interact. As we go into your word, we pray that the entrance of your word will give light, give understanding to us in Jesus' name. Thank you because a clear channel will be created and maintained in the heavenlies, through which more than enough of the life and power of God flows, causing the word of God to have a free course and the word of God to be glorified. The word of God will go forth with power, with accuracy, with clarity, with simplicity, and with the love and comfort of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. By the reason of the Spirit and the Word, you will break yokes, you will heal bodies, you will meet needs, you will dissolve doubts in our minds and hearts, you will solve the riddles that has beset us. You bring glory to the name of Jesus. Blessings to the sons of men in Jesus' name. Father, we are not ignorant of the devices of the enemy against effective delivery and receiving of the Word. So we come against every foul spirit of distraction, intimidation, offense, pride, mind-wandering, spirit of fear, spirit of intimidation, infirmities, weariness, weaknesses, unbelief, all you such contrary foul spirits, we cast you out, destroy your works, resist, and end you in Jesus' name. We break your hold over our hearts, bodies, and circumstances in the name of Jesus. We lose the angels of God, seven spirits of God, to go fulfill the air, enforce and execute God's perfect will concerning the delivery of the world, concerning our interaction, question and answers in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, because you answer our prayers. You do more than what we ask. You do more than what we think. According to your power, there's a work within us. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The question that we need to ask ourselves is, are we afraid of God? I'm not talking the fear of God, the one that is the beginning of wisdom. Are we afraid of God? So that sometimes when they say, just be neutral, God's will be done. Are we comfortable that God's will should be done? Or are you more at home with your own plans and devices? No, I was speaking last week. I could feel a palpable, I don't want to use a heavy word like, but sometimes it is. We're not ready to trust our lives into God's hands. Praise the Lord. Is there uncertainty with God? Or, hold on, Leo. Or, we have some of these, our pet sins, pet infirmities that we don't want God to come near them. But by and large, when they are saying, let's go and let God, we are not very comfortable. That scripture, do we doubt the end of what our life will look like if it is in God's hands? Or we read stories like Joseph, Moses, Daniel, Stephen, and then you now say, I don't want to go into prison. I don't want to be in the wilderness for 40 years. I don't want anybody to take me to the lion's den. Because it looks as if those who followed God, those are some of the things they encountered. And naturally, there's that reservation that, let's just be in the middle, let's keep it simple. Nobody can promise you any simple life. Nobody. The reason is this. There are some things we need to know because they are facts. You are conceived in sin and shapen in iniquity. I was conceived in sin and shapen in iniquity, the sin nature. So one way or the other, at development, there were some spiritual distortions. And my own is different from your own. So naturally, when God wants to perfect all that concerns me, my root and your root cannot be the same. Praise the Lord. We can give general principles, but my root and your root cannot be the same. Because when the distortion came, it was different for me, to how it was different for you. So when God wants to perfect what concerns you, yours is fear. This one is pride. So the roots each person will take will differ. The principle of perfecting all that concerns you is the same. Praise the Lord. And that's why sometimes we really cannot. God's dealing with everybody is unique. Secondly, we can have our own image of how we want God to make something good out of our lives. But when you are formed and God had an end, I know my thoughts towards you, not of evil, but of good, to bring you to an expected end. That end, when you are formed, that God saw, God can't compromise it. Praise the Lord. God can't compromise it. That's the expected end. So when men say you are good, people say this, you are this, God is looking at the expected end. How far are you from it? Praise the Lord. And God wants to get you to that end. Let's remember Moses. Moses was comfortable. He was prince of Egypt. He was raised in the palace. But that was not God's expected end. Praise the Lord. Joseph was his father's favorite. His father made him a coat of many colors. His father kept him close to him, Omo Daddy. But that was not God's expected end. Praise the Lord. And lastly, there's what they call the sin nature in our souls and bodies. And God does not want to compromise that thing. He wants it out. Amen. He wants it out. So, because of these three things. One, you have your own unique signature of how you have been conceived in sin and shaping in iniquity. Number two, God's expected end for you in perfection and fullness. God wants to bring it to pass. And number three, God wants to drive out the sin nature. When you start to prioritize God, you now come in conflict with these things. Praise the Lord. Now come in conflict with these things. See, let's be real. You are never designed to excel on your own. But Pastor told us about even the Godhead, that their togetherness is designed to bring fellowship amongst them. Amen. You can't. You are not designed to. The best comes with interaction. But with interaction sometimes comes conflict. Praise the Lord. With interaction comes conflict. So, you are fine on your own. Marriage comes. There will be some conflict. Praise the Lord. But when you see through that conflict, both sides get better. Both sides get better. So when you prioritize God, you want a deeper relationship with God. That's why sometimes many people are afraid of a deeper relationship with God. And we can't, nobody has been given the job to come and lie to make God look better for people. Let me repeat that. Nobody has been given the job to come before God's people to tell lies so that God can look good before people. God didn't send anybody that kind of message. But when you get closer to God, God now says, this thing that has been there for 10 years, for you to move to the next level, it has to go. That's where the conflict comes. Amen. Say, Moses, you can't stay in this palace. You can't be the person that I want, that I've designed for you. You have to leave. And Hebrews tells us that Moses saw that picture. You stay in the palace and be a respected prince, or you go into the wilderness and be a deliverer of a generation. He esteemed the reproach of Christ better than the company of Palace. And then Moses chose that path. David, the David we know that was running from pillar to post, he was in the palace. Oh, David was comfortable in the palace. He was Saul's armor bearer. An armor bearer definitely enjoys, like someone said when I was in, I think I just finished my youth service. The way, I imagine if young people thought that way. I imagine how they think. And I said, God, if I come to this world again, don't make me a rich man. Make me the son of a rich man. Rich men don't have the time to enjoy the money. It's the son. Say, you walk. That's how you think of enjoyment. You don't even want to labor. So the armor bearer of the king definitely is a... But a choice had to be made. To stay in that palace or to proceed to the... That palace was not the devil. But it was not sufficient for the next level. It wasn't sufficient for the next level. So he had to leave. Jonathan didn't leave the palace. And you saw the cost. You saw the cost. So, when you prioritize God, there can be conflict because the God you are meeting is prioritizing destiny. Praise the Lord. You prioritize God, God is prioritizing destiny. Amen. But where we need to be confident is that you need to have that faith that the end of God is glorious. Praise the Lord. That's how to combat the fear of that uncertainty that, can I follow this God path? The end of God. That's that scripture in James. Said, remember Job. But see the end, that God is exceedingly pitiful. Amen. God's end is a glorious end. He has said it now. I know my thoughts towards you. To bring you to an expected end. To an expected end. It's a glorious end. Praise the Lord. So let's remove that. I know the devil sows that fear. I had it plenty. He's scared of committing your life into God's hands. But commit your life into God's hands. Praise the Lord. Let's remember, if we want to be real, what is your life anyway? Bible tells us really your life is like a vapor. It can just appear like this, and it's gone. And it's gone. So let's put meaning to our lives. God is the one that can do it. Amen. People are afraid that, if I follow this God path, will I make it? Will the millions come in this holy, righteous living? Will I make it to Silicon Valley if I follow God? Can I ever make it to Hollywood if I follow God? Can I ever make it to Wall Street if I follow God? The top icon fashion designer I want to be, if I follow God, can it come to pass? Everything you have thought about yourself is so small. It's so small compared to what God is planning for you. Praise the Lord. It's so small. So, let's remove the fear. Amen. Let us remove the fear. And let us seek after God. God will comfort you. Praise the Lord. God will strengthen you. And God will enable you. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's never... See, you want to... Let's take, for example, someone is a graduate. Is earning... 3,005. Oh gosh. My first salary was 3,000. My first salary was 3,000 naira. Okay? Let me put in American currency. Maybe graduate in the US. $3,500. You're a graduate, you have a job. But you see those graduates make a judgment call and say, well, in 3 years' time, I want to go for master's. So this 3-5 every month, I'm dropping $800 every month so I can save to go and do that master's in Hopkins in 2 or 3 years' time. So I have work experience. Then I go struggle for master's 18 months with all the savings, finish that, and then come out, and then you now start to apply for managerial jobs that now pays 7,000. But you see, you left the 3,001. You spent all the savings. That's how many times it is with God. I wake up, I do my 10 minutes prayers, 15 minutes prayers. It's nice. God loves you. Everything. But a time comes that you need to, that setting has to change. It has to change. You can't continue on that setting for a long time. And then things just go haywire in your life and go. But God sets you so you can be promoted to a higher level. Amen. That really is the reality. Praise the Lord. So you just don't remain at the same level. You don't remain at the same level. Where God is taking you to, only God knows. The only thing I know about is that it's a glorious end. It's a what? It's a glorious end. Pastor told us his story. He said, and I was mentioning it here. He said, Pastor had first class in physics, in UI. Masters, communication engineering from Imperial College. Which job was he doing? Physics teacher in Kutahi High School. Not even ISI. Kutahi. No, so many of us don't even know where that is. Let me just give a summary of what's such a dungeon. Bush. But in God's plan for him at that time, and how long was he in Kutahi at the end of the day? 2 years? God needed to step him down. To step him down from the shoulder pad of the Johnsons. The Johnsons. London boy. God put everything. Why? God saw what he was planning for him ahead. Amen. He didn't plan to go to Kuta. Nobody plans anything for himself. But is God faithful at the end of the day? That's what we are talking about. There are some things we do our best to preach it, but you are going to live it. Amen. It's in the living it that you are really well taught. But all our preaching is just to introduce it. That you have a good God. And he's not ready to keep you at the same level forever. He wants you higher. But sometimes because you are higher, God wants to take you higher. He has to strip you of some garbages and baggages that you are carrying that will not allow you fly. Amen. Won't allow you fly. So those things need to leave you. And what are those baggages and garbages? Many of them are unique to you. Praise the Lord. God knows them. Knows them that, this guy, nice guy. But he has superiority complex. People will see that. Many will not see it. You may not even know it. But God sees it. Amen. God sees it. So it takes you through a process so that thing can be removed. Why? So I can now take off to higher ground. Amen. So, those are the briefs that I want us to get. Because when we finished last week, I just saw that some people had issues with, can we commit to God? Everybody, go to the world. In the Western world, it's fashionable now to say there's no God. It's fashionable. One reason is, once you agree there is God, then you have to commit to him. And people don't want to commit. Praise the Lord. It's a selfish world. And it's not our destiny. Praise the Lord. They live together. They don't marry. Marriage has commitment. And they're not ready for the commitment. So they want a relationship where I can walk out anytime. Or a few times when they decide to marry, they already sign how they will share the properties in case they divorce. They're not married, but they've signed out they will share the property. That's not a marriage. But what's the root of everything? Selfishness. Self-centeredness. That's Satan's nature. That's Satan's nature. But that's not the path God wants us to go. So let me drop that scripture with you. Psalm 51, verse 5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Okay, thank you for showing this. Show Psalm 51. Yes, verse 5. Yeah, very important. And that sin nature has got to go. Praise the Lord. You're a good boy, fine. You're a nice guy, fine. God wants to deal with the sin nature. And he knows how best. Praise the Lord. Sin nature just needs some fire. What is that temperature that burns the sin nature and yet will not destroy you? God knows it. Praise the Lord. It's a complex, but God knows how to. He will toughen you a little so when he's now increasing the fire, you are also able to bear it a little. Then when it's about to heat you too much, God will lessen it. And could train you a little more, heat the fire again. Amen. So you're able to bear it. But God is not compromising this sin nature. Praise the Lord. So let's trust God. Let's have faith. There's a good God who wants the best for us. Praise the Lord. And many times, despite all our weaknesses, infirmities, he still loves us. But he's just trying to tell you that after a while, you need to stop this and move up. And in moving up, there'll be a little of ruffling of feathers. Amen. So that some things that are going to hinder you long term can go. So that you can be free. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'll soon take questions. Let me just round up with the reality check, a story. By the time I finished school, that's first degree. I've said some of it here before. The next place I wanted to be was America. It's 1992. So I was finished school. I was going to serve. And the plan was that from youth service, as youth service ending, bam, I'm in the U.S. And what I want to go and do in the U.S.? Go and do PhD for 5 years. That was the dream. Praise the Lord. And I felt that dream was of God. I was in my fourth year when I had this academic seed in my heart. I could feel it. Going to be a teacher. And teacher, lecturer. I did not say before my father, 1990, 89, 90, lecturers were poor. Lecturers were dying. If you're a lecturer and you had diabetes or high blood pressure, your life is virtually gone. You didn't have the money to maintain yourself. We are complaining now, and we should complain, but it is far, far better than the 90s. You see your lecturer, you pity them. But that seed was in my heart. This is what I want to do. Praise the Lord. That's why sometimes you have to be careful. Sometimes the only thing you want to do now is the one that is making money. You don't want to do what you want to do. The only thing you want to do is what is making money. That's why many people are rich and miserable. They drop their dream. They just take money. I knew I wanted to be a lecturer. That thing was there in my fourth year. So, by my sixth year, I was like, finish youth service, run to America. 5 years. I was 21. But my dream was sharp. So I got to youth service in Maiduguri. And I started planning for exams and go where I will write, everything. Everything was in place. But as we approached August, September, I started feeling a dryness, an emptiness I couldn't define. Praise the Lord. And as you know, when time comes, at his appointed time, God knows how to get on everybody's case. Praise the Lord. God knows how to get on everyone. That's why I said, people can only give you examples and will teach you principle. How God will get on your case will be very unique to you. Amen. And you know the funny thing? You will know it's God. You will know God has showed up. You will know. I said, God, what? God, don't near that PhD America. Any other thing you want me to submit, I will submit it. But this one, don't go there. And like I always say now, anything you are telling God not to go there, he's already there. Praise the Lord. He is already there fully. I started feeling that emptiness and everything. Everywhere I applied for, I was not taken. Including UI. I finished vet medicine. I applied for a master's in zoology. They didn't take me. All the America, all the UK, none. The UI one made me sober. That there's something behind the curtain. I need to calm down. So I started calming down. So I went to look for a job as a vet doctor, which was never my dream. Never. I never dreamt of that. Praise the Lord. Many times you must go through to where you are before you go to where you are going to. Praise the Lord. Many of us just want to go to. No, you go through. And then God takes you to. Amen. So I calmed down. I started the clinic work. Very nice in Lagos. Very nice. Had a car. My mom gave me a car. I had a servant that was attending to me. I was the first child. They were very happy with me that I had gone to school at a young age. I had obeyed them. They were very happy. Everything. The whole salary they paid me then, 3-5. I didn't really need it for anything. I had accommodation. I had car. I would get money for my mom if I want to buy fuel. There was food. And also, the 3-5. In short, the day they pay me the salary, I'll go and buy hobnobs. My father used to say, It's easy to know the day you are paid. Go and buy up knobs. Plenty. I'll give my brother, give it. You know, spend the money. Spend the money. And I wasn't a wayward guy. I was in church. The church I used to go to in Lagos. I was a youth person. I was a youth coordinator. So spiritually everything looked fine, uncle. But the dryness was increasing. The dryness was increasing. And I just knew I was not where God wanted me to be. That's God showing up. Praise the Lord. I don't know if I want to continue this story because everybody will face his own. So I'm not really too keen to tell you my own. You will face your own. Praise the Lord. Or should I tell you? You want to hear it. I want to go now and say, my friend, pack from Lagos and go to Ibadan. Ibadan. The only thing Ibadan made sense. The only thing that made sense in Ibadan was the job in the university and postgraduate studies. To me, every other I'm from Ibadan, but I was brought up in Lagos. Ibadan is a dry land. We're talking 94. What am I doing? Ibadan. Go to Ibadan. For what? For what? For 1 year, I kept saying every day, God, I will go tomorrow. Then I will escape. God. Okay, I'll go tomorrow. For 1 year. Until one of my beautiful friends, Sister Bimbo, gave me a tape. He said, Brother James, listen to this tape. Those are the days of tape, so I go to put it in. It was Rick Godwin. Rick Godwin said, you do not enter the next level of promotion until you settle the last level of disobedience. I can't forget. It is 30 years, but I can never forget. You don't go to the next level of promotion until you settle the last level of disobedience. And the pressure, the punishment of your disobedience will be increasing until you obey. When you're alone, it's a mummy. It gets me. All the defenses were out. And from that day, I started making all the plans. And God, you know what God told me? I can't forget. He said, didn't I tell Abraham, go to a land that I will show you. You even know where you are going. Abraham did not know where he was going. So, the only thing you are complaining about is that, God, what am I going to Ibadan for? God didn't give an answer that one. But he said, that's better. You don't even know where you're going. Abraham did not know where he was going. And again, I can't forget, God also told me, Abraham, go to a land I will show you. The fact that you read vet medicine doesn't mean God can't talk to you like that. No, first, you that read vet medicine, how can you just say you are going to somewhere you don't know? Going to somewhere? No. God says, vet medicine does not remove the fact that I can talk to you the way I talk to Abraham. Praise the Lord. So I came to Ibadan. The only thing that made sense in Ibadan was Pastor's Wednesday and Sunday messages. Those were the only two things that made sense in Ibadan. That was when Pastor started School of the Spirit Perfection Epistles. I've never had, I was born again here, but that pastor had entered a new realm. At that time, it was 1996. Third day just came. We just entered the third day. Then we're in that auditorium. I will take notes. I will take notes. My parents, so my mother said, the enemies that couldn't get us, They got our son. The only thing I knew about that time was just that I had peace. In Lagos, I had money, but I didn't have peace. Every night, for days, for months, I couldn't sleep. But I had money. I had nice food, I have everything, but I had void. In Ibadan, I didn't have money. I didn't have food. But I had peace. That time I knew value of peace. Because you know something, it's until you lose it that you know the value. I had peace. I didn't have money. I did not have money. The next meal came by faith. I had reproach. It happened for 2.5 years. 2.5. And then I went to start a clinic. And then I got a job as a lecturer. The rest is stories today. I want part 4. I knew this was from God. I wanted to be a lecturer. But you want to go through it, you first go through, and then you come to. Amen. If I look back now, what's the conclusion? God is pitiful, exceedingly merciful. Praise the Lord. I felt bad in the Ibadan when I came. People would have dreams to become lecturers, got the job. They were looking for lecturers, then they gave them jobs. I was in the dungeon. To the glory of God, I joined in late, so to say. I joined 99. I came back from youth service 93 December. I became a professor before everybody. Everybody. Because from the day I entered, you could just see God. Do this. Do this. Don't join that. Don't join that. Do this. Do this. This God is faithful. Amen. So he does not abandon people. He makes them better. Praise the Lord. That's the scripture, that Jeremiah 29, we can't run from it. I know my thought that I have towards you. That of good. Not of evil. To bring you to an expected end. It's just that statement is not as simple as that. It takes some going through sometimes to bring you out strong. But God cares. Amen. In those what you call dungeon, God gives you peace. In those dungeons, he speaks to you. In those dungeons, he gives you revelation. In those dungeons, you see favor before God and men. Then when you have money, then you now know that money is nothing, because there was a time you had nothing and yet life continued. You know, some people, they've always, that's why they can do anything not to make sure money leaves them, because they cannot imagine a life without money. They can't imagine it, though. But someone like Pastor Olivia, he saw the life without money. It went on fine. Now there is a life with money. He knows that at the end of the day, the HCF, highest denominator is God. Is God. So when money wants to, when something happens, money will leave. You are not fretting, because you knew there was a time when there was no money. And life went on well. Amen. You are preserved. And you know that your life really is in God's hands. Amen. So let's ask our question. Let's share the conclusion we are saying. Don't be afraid. Amen. Don't be afraid. God has not designed to leave you and kill you. I read a script. I looked at the scripture today. It was Psalms. I think Psalm 119, it says, the Lord has chastened me sore, but he has not left my soul to death. You will go through some chastening, but God didn't plan to kill you. He planned to refine you. Amen. He planned to refine you. We're going to sing this song at the end. It's to be holy. Set apart. That's later. Okay? God refines and makes you better. Amen. So don't let us run away from God. Hallelujah. Don't let us run away from God. Let's run to God. Let's prioritize. That's why people don't prioritize relationship with God. Everybody, you want to keep God at arm's length. You are not running away from him, but you don't want him to poke nose too much into your business. We won't say that with our mouths. But that's really, Lord, you know, our groaning, revelation, I beg.
Let's just stay simple where we are. Let's do the best we can do. Let's and go. Start saying you want to hear God's voice. Yes, that really it. And many of us are in that level. We want to keep God at arm's length. So we can. We don't want to live a wayward life. We just want to live our simple life that God will not start to not come and start prognosing too much. Because the youth of now, they don't even want their parents in their life, not to talk of God. Met a 15-year-old boy, 16-year-old boy yesterday. He said, I can't come to you. My father, my mother started to poke nose into my life. He's 16. He said it. I want to come to you. My father and mother started to poke nose in my life. 16. You won't live in the, you will live in the hostel. But the fact that they will still come, well, he sees that as poke nosing. So he wants to go somewhere away. That's human. Not to talk of how we do to God. He's not disowning his parents. No, he's not. He doesn't hate them. He just loves his freedom and independence. That's what many of us are also doing with God. It's not that we hate God. No. But we just don't. It's like cutting off a bow. No. Just come to church. Just stay at the back. Sing. And go listen. Put the tithe, put your offering and get out. So you want to, which job you want. It's not a matter of God's will. So that God's, this is the person you want to marry. But finish. There's nothing. Did you pray about it? This is the person. That's the kind of life we want to live. And it hinders us from prioritizing God because of that fear. And we need that fear. I told Pastor Lalu at the end of last Friday, Pastor Lalu, I perceived that fear that, man, they don't want to move into God. They don't want to be bad people, but, that's Kama Folon, see, front burner. No. But brethren, that's the next level for us. Praise the Lord. Is that the next? That's why we are here. If you really wanted to keep your, so you won't come here. So don't let the devil rob you of why you came here. You came here to move up. Amen. Take your life to the next level. At the end of the day, as a pastor, take it to the highest level. Amen. When you see a man at his highest level, it's God that got him there. Your human calculation can't get you to your highest potential and keep you there righteous, holy, and clean. It's only God that does that. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a super hand clap. So, let's contribute. Let's ask questions. Let's be real. Praise the Lord. Every shell, every pseudo spirituality, I bind it in Jesus' name. No, let's break the shell. Let's say your mind. Praise the Lord. Say your mind. Say it as it is. Amen. If you are correct, we'll tell you are correct. If we say, no, it's not like that, we'll tell you as it is. At the end of the day, let us all leave this place healthy, strong, better directed. Praise the Lord. Contribution, comments, question, like we say, if you want to write your question, you can write it on a paper. Praise the Lord. After two times of writing it, the next time you will take the mic. Yes, but we can start by writing. But if you are ready to take the mic, please take the mic. And if there's nobody writing and taking the mic, I'm already looking at one, two persons that I will give the mic to. And you can't tell me I spoke for 25 minutes and nothing came to your mind. Don't say because this is church. How can I be teaching in classroom? I'm teaching students for 30 minutes and they say they have no contribution. No. Students like that don't exist in the university. Students like that don't exist in scripture pasture. Definitely they are not in Zion City. Okay. Comment, question, contribution. Either you take the mic or you write it down. Let's break the ice. I'm waiting 20 more seconds unless the mic is going to... I've seen two people. Mic is going to them. One is male, one is female. Ten more seconds. Chinedu, get ready your contribution.
Get ready your contribution.
Any other? Anybody? Ah, thank you. Thank you. Pastor Promise.
Thank you, sir. I have a question. So I feel like there's another level of fear, and that's the fear of uncertainty in not being able to distinguish when a delay is. We know God's way takes time, you know, but how do you distinguish when the delay is because you are in God's will, or the delay is because you're out of God's will? I know peace can be a general answer, but sometimes one is not so sensitive to even the peace. Sometimes the lack of peace might not be because you're out of God's will. Yes, it might be lack of peace because maybe it's what you want. You're not being able to do it. So, I mean, that uncertainty, how can one, you know, clearly distinguish when this delay is because I'm out of God's will, or this delay is because I'm in God's will?
Thank you.
Okay. Good question. One thing I know, or one thing I can say first and foremost, is that God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. So it's important to know that irrespective of what comes to me, I cannot be tempted beyond what I can bear. You know, so because when you have this kind of situations, you need to go back to the Word, because I don't know specifics, but I can only give it in principle. You know, because there are things that I would say that you should do. First and foremost, God can allow. When you were saying, the first thought that came to me is, if it was me. And that scripture that came to me is what I'm giving you now, that God will never allow me to be tempted above what I can bear, beyond what I can bear. The next thing is, then I'll have to see a mature Christian, you know, to now talk about that specific. You know, we might not be able to discuss the specific here, you know, but what I could deduce and what I could just be able to, what I could receive and be able to communicate to these. First and foremost, God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. You know, so it's not going to be a question without answers. You know, it's not going to be a tunnel without light at the end of the tunnel. And then number two, specifically with regards to that thing, you might have to see, and you should see a mature Christian who will now be able to discern appropriately whether you're actually out of God's will for that thing, or you just need to wait. You know, Joseph had to wait 3 extra years. That's Joseph. There are other people that they are out of God's will. That's why time has gone. Like Jonah that we saw the last time. You know, so the subtlety comes to the heart level. What are you facing? And then I have to be able to distinguish it with your own heart specifically with regards to that matter. Like there was a question that somebody asked last week about Forex. And just, David and I were just talking. I said, look, man, that person is not so much about Forex, but it's about your heart. And let me tell you, truth is, you want quick money. Majority of people want quick money. Majority, you understand. The guys that do Forex, well, they are Forex companies, you know, but really, really, the reason why people get into Forex is quick cash, you know. And you say that same week, things happened in the Forex market. You know, so, and then people lost money. So is that what you want to base your finance on? I mean, so it's the heart that we need to answer at that point. First and foremost, God will not allow you to be tempted what you can bear. So God is not some question matter and there's no answer. You know, there's no light at the end of the tunnel. Of course there is. And if he needs to reroute, he reroutes. If there needs to be remission and repentance, there is remission and repentance. The Bible says that God will leave. He, in Joel, so he said that you think God will even leave wheat and oil, that which you used to make sacrifice to him. That's how pitiful and merciful he is. And then especially, I think you need to see a mature Christian to discuss that situation with. And then you'll be able to give specific answer to that particular matter.
Praise God. Thank you for that question. It's a very, very, very Jamie. So, in addition to what Pastor Laulu said, actually, we all will face what promise us, or we, let me say, we all might face, no, let me say, will. Olokpadi 2022, we all will face. Okay, the thing is, it's very important. I know this may sound cliche, but it's the truth. It's very important for us to seek God early. When I say seek God early, as early as possible. We are, most of us are in the university, so I can't be talking about secondary school, but if you can start seeking God from secondary school, seek God. I'll use myself as an example. By the mercy and the grace of God, somehow, I didn't have a scripture and verse, but I knew God wanted me to go to UI. The course I wanted to do, they didn't have it in UI. I wanted to do business administration. Somehow, God led me to select sociology. I applied for sociology. I was admitted. Somehow, later on, I now found that the dreams I actually had, the desires I had, were eventually unfolding. I'm eventually seeing them. But what I'm trying to say is, let's seek God early. Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call unto me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things that you know not." So I can't see the future because I'm not God. But there's someone that knows the future, because Jeremiah 29:11 in Message Version says, "I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out." It's like you want to build a house. You already have the architectural plan. It's not that as the bricklayers and you now tell them, okay, do this next, just out of your head. There's already a plan that we are following. So the same way for us, God already has a plan. But I don't know it. You don't know it. But he now says that, "Call unto me, then I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you do not know." He says his secret is with them that fear him. So when we pray, and it's not just a one-time prayer, Pastor says that we should spend an hour every week praying concerning different areas of our lives. This thing is very, very real. As much as possible, I counsel people because I've seen it help me. It will help you in the area of career, in the area of life partner, in the area of health, finances, anything. Consistently, if you can't do an hour, start with something. If it's 10 minutes, okay, I know that on Thursdays, my schedule is freer. So when I get back from there, I just pray 10 minutes in the spirit. Start from there. I'm not saying 10 minutes is the goal. Some things will start getting clearer. God will give you scriptures. Scriptures will pop up in your heart. It may be then when you're praying, maybe sometime later. And as you meditate on it, things will become clearer. So back to the question. This is just like a foundation. When you are experiencing a delay, you now weigh what God has spoken to you. Am I in line with what God has spoken to me? For instance, if God has said, God speaks to us in different ways. For instance, if God has said, what example can I use? Okay, let me use Joseph. God had told Joseph that his brethren are going to bow down to him. For Joseph, it's even a very peculiar case because he didn't even seem like it. So sometimes you are wondering. Joseph had a lot of delays. About how many years? 13 years. So it's a very wonderful experience. But you might be wondering, what am I doing something wrong? Am I in the wrong place? Am I in the wrong? There are a lot of fine girls here. I'm doing well. I'm doing all God has told me to do. But it's very important to hold on to what God has spoken to you. Then weigh it with, okay, am I following to the best of my knowledge? Some things are beyond our control. So to the best of my knowledge, as God has been leading me, am I on path? The thing is, God, we may not have scripture, verse and scripture, chapter and verse, but the Holy Spirit will nudge you. Okay, take this course. Okay, drop that job. Okay, take this job. You will know. That's why it's important for us to exercise our conscience in obeying God. So, so we assess ourselves. Pastor calls it judge yourself. Evaluate yourself. Okay, have I been doing what God has been instructing me to do? Well, I've been doing everything. Okay, maybe I'm fine. There's a delay, but to the best of my knowledge, I'm following what God has for me. And eventually, and it's very important, like Pastor Laulu said, to speak to someone that is more mature. Because sometimes you may think you're in God's perfect will and you are not. But I think a very good way is to weigh what you are doing, your path, with what God has spoken to you and how God is leading you, apart from the peace aspect. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
I'll just chip in 2-3 minutes. I had two things to answer when you, and the second one tallies with how Pastor Lalutu said it. There are times you now know that this thing needs an oversight input. Okay? You just know that it's clouded. It's not clear. I think I need an input. Okay? It takes honesty to also admit that. So that agrees with Pastor Lalu. Pastor Lalu talked about, his first point was that God will not allow you to be tempted above the measure. So the first thing I thought about, I want to add to what Pastor Lalu said, so it's like three things. You know, he talked about Samson. When they said the Philistines, he said he would shake himself like he did the previous time. But when he went out, he knew not that God was no longer. See, when you are going on a path in life, one way or the other, God has his way of communicating with you. But there are times in which you now know that everything now about this thing, I'm the one driving it. You don't see God inside. You just have to be honest to say, the whole energy of this thing is my energy. There's no longer a divine, it makes you slow down. Am I really in what God wants me to do? That? Okay, maybe this delay is just natural delay. So, I can do this and do this to make it come to pass. You pray about it, but you just know that God is not following you. You are the one dragging it. You are the one pulling it. Honesty demands that you calm down. It's not yet time. Praise the Lord. So, there can be natural delays. I told you I wanted to be a lecturer. Yeah. Natural delays. I wanted to be a lecturer. And when all those things, in those days in Agbowo, and I actually concluded that all that lecturer thing was maybe a product of overeating. I forgot about it completely. Okay? That one is God's delay. So you just put your mind off it, and you are okay putting your mind off it. And then, started the clinic, was working in the clinic, and one day someone now came and said, my sister said I should tell you that there's vacancy in the university. I said, me? Vacancy? That life is gone. That's what I said. Came to my clinic, that life is gone. I said, I said, no, forget. This is the new thing. So I believe I'm in church. I have this job now. I don't think, that dream was dead. And because I just believe it wasn't God. She just said something. My sister just said, I should tell you that there's vacancy. And I will advise you that maybe you should pray about it. I said, I'll pray about it. But inside me, it was like, just leave me alone. That's a life I have forgotten about. Don't take me back there again. So I escorted the person to the main road, came back into the clinic. The clinic was divided into two. There was a clinic and there was my residence. So I went into my residence and I felt the power of God. It was so strong, I went on my knees and laid down. And God said, that dream has always been true. Go apply. It's time to go back to the university. I got there. There were 13 of us. Five had masters already. So on paper, I had no hope of being taken. What did I lean on? God says, this is my job. And I came third. In short, I came, there was first, I had a master's. Second, had a master's. Third, two of us tied. One guy with a master's and myself. So the committee said, HOD, make the choice. I went back to the clinic. There was no phones in those days. No, nothing. I just finished the interview. I went back to the clinic. I felt, they said, you will hear from us. So I went back. But the other guy stayed around. He found out he was third and joined third.
He went to start meeting people. Talk to this HOD. Talk to the HOD. Me, I was back to my clinic. And then the HOD just made a judgment call that, if all these heavy people are already on my neck because of this guy, if I take him, I will not be able to control him. So I take the other person. They started looking for me all over the place. All over the place were looking for me. Until somebody who knew me, now called the business center close to and said, they should go and call me. And they said, you have the job. They are looking for you in UI. So, I'm just giving you some, like I said, you will face your own. It will not be a UI, it may not be a UI job. It will be something else. Are you getting? So, that's why sometimes I'm always a bit weird of breaking down personal experience. Because it's the principle that is important. There are some things, it's God. Joseph was God. That he was brothers with, but I'm sure the time came, he was like, forget that dream. It was a joke. And go. But it came to pass. But there are some dreams you have, it's not God. It's not God. And the way you know is that we keep driving it by ourselves. Driving and you don't say, let me stop. This is not God. And most times, from my own experience in life, God's peace comes on you and I just say, forget that. And go. It's not me. Because God is part of your being. So when there's that conflict of his will and your, you yourself feel the unease. Feel the unease. That's why people don't want to get close to God. It's better to stay on neutral. Where his heart beats, you are not feeling it. But you are feeling his heartbeat, and it isn't praise the Lord. Any other question? That was a very nice question because it's real life. Any other question, comment? I'm still going to. Okay. Say good. That's I'm still coming to Chinedu. Chinedu, it looks like this. Just when it's gone, your prayers. Go for it.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
My comment is what I see in all that have been discussed, and I look into what I've also experienced. What I've been said and what I've also experienced, going through the course of not being certain and being in between and not too sure is not a criteria or reason why we should not keep on the path of Christ, why we should not remain on course with Christ. No matter how sturdy, heavy, uncertain, unrevealing, unpleasant such situations or circumstances may be. Like Joseph in the prison. He could decide, in fact, he was in Potiphar's house as a slave and God was with him. Everything he laid his hand on, whatever was committed into his hand, prospered because God was with him. Even Potiphar's wife confirmed. And in the prison, he continued with it. In the cross of the Lord God, and God was with him, he was still able to exhibit his gifts in the prison. So that's what came to my mind that I should say. I have a few experiences of such. Being pushed out of where I was supposed to be exploding and being useful. Things were working in place. People were falling by the left, by the side, and I was standing and all of that. But no, don't stay there. Come away from there. I have to obey order. It still did not mean I should turn my back on God and I shouldn't still listen to God. God still directed my path some places and were like, what am I going to do in those places? Only to discover that God had arranged people that were there. Only that I just needed to pass there and I would get the reason to speak to them and reach out Christ to them. And I was fulfilled that day. I was like, wow. So now, how does this conform with living Kaduna with a half mind that I'm not being fulfilled? I'm roaming the streets and God say, go this way. And I could have gone a more pleasant way to get what I was going for. And only to be trekking this long route and discover that these people were just waiting for someone to come and preach to them. So it could be in any way like that. So let's remain on course with Christ. Despite the fact that it's been delayed or whatever we are reaching out. And let's be sure that what we think is being delayed from reaching us is not our own pursuit, personal pursuit that is outside God's. That's another thing. Let's be sure. So that we not say God is delaying, God is delaying. Meanwhile, it is actually not of God's. So this, I think it concerns everyone. God bless us in Jesus' name.
Praise God. I just want to reiterate on the things that have been said. And I just want to say what God is laying on my heart to say. The first thing which Ayonfe also talked about is staying with God, communing with the Father, intimacy and fellowship with God. By being on that lane, there is no way you will miss out of God. Even if he's speaking to you in a way and he sees that you are not understanding, maybe he's speaking to you with that still small voice and you do not seem to hear him. In the study of the scripture, he will come to you again. If you do not hear him like that, if you remain in fellowship, you are in church, something that the pastor will say, it may not even be related to the study of that day. He might just say it in passing, and that word will be for you. So remaining in God will not make you miss out. By that, you are now very sure of his will. So you can really say, yes, this is the will of the Father for me. And as believers, even when we know his will, it doesn't mean that it will start playing out immediately. Like Prof used himself as an example. And looking at the typology of David, David had been anointed by Samuel from his teenage age, but he didn't sit on the throne until he was 30. So there's a waiting period for everything as a believer. So when we are in the waiting room, it does not mean that, oh, God is not aware, or he's just wasting your time, or things are just the way they are. And we are now so dejected that those challenges are now drawing us back from him. No, it shouldn't be that. Everything is a matter of time. And God deals with time. And he said he makes all things beautiful in its own time. So to you, the time for the manifestation of his will may be now, because he told you now. And you think, okay, even if it doesn't happen now, at least I give it 2 years, I give it a year. And you now start asking yourself, am I sure I heard God? Yes, you heard God, but it's not yet its time. When it is time, it will make everything to work together for your good, because you have remained righteous. So what I just want to say is that it's a matter of time. We just have to remain in him, stay in him, and stay on track, so that we will see the manifestation of the words he has spoken to us and spoken about us. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Okay, just to add to what Elder Lokbadi said, I know that personally when men of God are talking about their experiences, I'm always like, are you sure they did not give you money that time? Like, you know, you were saying how when you came to Ibadan, you didn't have money and all of that. Are you sure they did not even send you 1,000 naira? Like, somebody must have been helping out somehow. But then I now look at, you know, colleagues and people that I know that have actually gone through that. And from my own, I don't have that much experience, but from the short life I've lived so far, I know that so many things in my life were happening like in 2x speed. And then there was a period where I had this huge setback. It was really awful, because it was like, you've been jumping, and now you're like just staying. Exactly. So I, shortly before the setback came, I had a major exam. So, and the thing about us is that people like, I mean, the way I was before, because now I know that I'm walking and becoming more like Christ, is that wanting to seek God, like you were saying earlier about the fear, like, I don't want God to poke nose in my business, is really real, because you're like, you won't be able to do certain things again because the guilt is going to really be bearing on you. So it's the fear of not wanting the guilt that makes you say, you know, you're not ready to become really close to God. So after, you know, I overcame that fear, I realized that there's nothing that can really happen except you just keep going in circles thinking you're moving forward. And so I decided I was going to do 21 days fast because I was going to turn 21. So, you know, I deceived myself most of the time, but let's just say that happened. I tried my best. So when the result of, that was like maybe a couple months before the result of the exam came. So when it came and I saw that I failed woefully, I was like, God, this was not the agreement. After fasting 21 days, and then you're now telling me that I have to retake this, and the exam, like, you know, is once a year, so I won't be able to take it. It was not like I could just resit immediately. So when between that time, that was like the sober moment of my life. I knew that there was that time speed was had now gone to like -5 times, that decreased greatly. So I was sober and I started talking to God little by little. Like I first said, starting with 10 minutes. Like the thing is, most of us see it as, oh, I want to pray 1 hour at once, and then you find out that it's actually not possible. So, you know, little by little also really really helps a lot. So I started doing that, and from there. And then God came through for me. And then during youth service, I knew first and foremost, I'm not even going to serve in Ibadan, God forbid, bad thing. Even though my parents wanted me to. NYC carried me to Kebbi. But I still came back. I came back to Abeokuta. And then I was like, I can't go back to the house. So, like, that's not happening. I'm not living with my parents again. I'm now independent. I'm now on my own. And then a few days before my service ended, I already made arrangements for my life, but then I started feeling very disturbed. I could not sleep. It was in that moment I knew. So I called my father. I said, "Hello, Daddy, I'm coming home next week. POP is next week." And he said, "I was not expecting you back, because, you know, you've made everybody know that you're gone for good and you're not on your own." And coming back, I knew that this was where I was supposed to, at least, I needed to come back home. And then every Sunday, Pastor Lau will be talking about Zion City, and I'll be feeling so guilty. so guilty. I'll be like, anytime he talks, I'll be like, every time I will just tell myself, I'm going to go this Friday, and then that Friday I will not come, and then on Sunday again, Pastor Lau will make the announcement, and then I'll be like, that I feel like I'm going to, you know, go to hellfire for not doing this. That was how bad I felt. And then I started coming. And then, of course, on Sundays, I started feeling like, yes, so I'm one of them. So I feel like, you know, sometimes when we hear stories of our colleagues, like I just shared a brief story of mine, it also helps our faith. God does not want to punish us. He doesn't want to disrupt our life. He doesn't want to poke nose and, you know, tell you don't do this, don't do that. He actually just wants to be there so that you don't make the mistakes. Probably if I had held on to God since university days, I would never have had to now go through that whole waiting period, failing exam, feeling like that was the end of the world. I was done with life at that point. So, but I'm sure that, because there were people, I had the opportunity in university. I had roommates in each level that I could tell, like, you know, they held strongly to God. And I could have latched on to them, if nothing. Maybe be going for the foolish fellowships they were going for, but I did none of that because I'm okay. I don't want to be holier than thou. I don't want to be SU, all of that. And I could have avoided so much disappointment and so much setback that may have come if I had just done that. So that's all I have. I have more, but it's because of time. Thank you.
Amen. That's keeping it real. Amen. Praise the Lord. I guess the only thing I just say, you know, Sister Sarah was saying that there's a way God always speaks. You know, sometimes we pray, maybe we don't hear. And then we read the word. Maybe that's where God will speak to you and go. But at least, in coming to church, God always used Pastor Lalu to speak to her. So there is always a way God, and that is really true. God doesn't leave people alone. Amen. And that's what Itoro was saying. You in the midst of, I need a job. Your life can't be a job. That's not your life. I wake up in the morning, I pray, I read my Bible, I come to church, and go, I'm kind to people. That's your life. along that way, that your job issue will be settled. Pray. But you don't, because of job, you stop prayers. You stop the word. You stop your real life because you are seeking for a job. Amen. Because in that your life that you are the real prayer, God will always get in touch with you. And that's keeping it real. Yes, my sister.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. What's your name?
Itsunu.
Itsunu.
Yes. My question is, assuming you know, you've seen God's will for you and you've known it. Can you, like, you know, this is God's will for me, okay? I will now pray that, God, I don't want it like at this level.
Yeah.
Like, I want more than this. Can we do that?
Very nice question. I kind of associate what... that is why the sin nature will constantly be a problem. If God says ZZ, sin nature will say ZYZ. It will always just put its own. We are like that. Are you getting? And what are we looking for? Convenience. That's ZZ. Ah, there's a little inconvenience there. Or what God is saying now, it's too small. But God knows what you can handle at your level. And that's why he puts it like that. There's the story of a rich young ruler in the Bible. He says, Master, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? Oh, said, do this, love your neighbor. Do this. He said, all these ones I have done from my youth. I think it's the Luke version. He says, Jesus looked at him and loved him and said, well, if you are going to be perfect, go and sell all what you have and give to the poor. He linked perfection to his sin nature problem. Like I said at the beginning, we are all conceived in sin, shaping iniquity. He liked people, he loved them, but he holds to his money. And like I said, God sees everybody. So, you've done all that, fine. The sin nature didn't really affect you in this area. Okay, it has affected you in this. Go and sell over. The guy said, eh? He said, I like the scripture. He said, the guy went away sad because he had many riches. And then Jesus spoke. But I'm trying to now put what pastor, Revelation, not the pastor put. Now, that man was a man of wealth, who manages wealth. Just a few months down the road, Judas, the one who manages the wealth of the disciples and Jesus, betrayed Christ. The easy replacement would have been that man. That would have been the easy replacement. He would have gotten to become an apostle of the Lamb. What happened to the apostle of the Lamb? Their names are written in the foundation of the New Jerusalem in heaven. So all of, I can't leave this. Nobody told him all that one behind. That you could be a replacement for Judas. You will be in the eternal kingdom and go. But he wanted to keep to this. So we need to be careful. Because many times, the person that is faithful in little is the one that God knows will be faithful over much. So a little is given to us. Do this. And we say, no. Just do it faithfully. Do it faithfully. Opens more doors for you. Do it faithfully. Opens more doors for you. Do it faithfully. Praise the Lord. So, God will give us things in doses. He knows what is good. Sometimes God gives us big. We say we can't do it. He gives us small. We say, no, it's not big enough. It's just the sin nature. It happens to all of us. It always wants to redefine God. That's his nature. It just can't take God at his value. He wants to rewrite. Until he rewrites, he's not satisfied. And go. And that's why Pastor keeps telling us that. This cleansing of sin nature and co is not an option. It's the job we have to do and co, because it's gonna rob us of perfection. Praise the Lord. Yeah, Chinedu.
Good evening, house. My name is Chinedu. Oh, please, sorry. Joshua 22 verse 6. verse 5, please. If I'm not mistaken, 22 verse 5. Okay, good. Okay, now, this passage talk about the love for Christ. If we don't love Christ, it's just like somebody wants to be my friend. You like me, you can't know everything about me. But if you love me, yes, you do a lot. Just let me use our mothers now. You love your mother so much, even when you know mommy, you still stay with her. It's a take diligent heed to the commandment and the law which Moses the servant of the Lord charge you to love your God, to love the Lord your God. Now, most of these things we are saying today, now we realize that delay. It is not, we need to realize that it is not our village people, it is not the witches and the wizard. Yes, when we know that Jesus is the Savior, when he was growing up, he did just did a lot. See, that time, he had to baptize, and you know, after baptizing, then went on with the whatever we are doing. Our parents know that, okay, yes, so just like, let me put it. Our parents know that we are, okay, we graduated and this and that, but they won't take us to that place. They want us to pass, they want us from birth, grow, then pass the process, knowing this. They can't just take us to this place. Okay, I want to be an engineer, take you to the office engineer. No, they want to go through school, do this and do that. So that's what the Lord wants us to do. He's trying to shaping us. We just need to understand it, that this is the Lord. It's what the Lord is doing to us. It's not that we need to understand. When you love the Lord, you will understand that he is the one. So we need to love God. The main thing is just love him. Loving God, you understand. When your mom is with you, she don't need to talk. You understand something is not all right. So we need to love God. Loving God with all our heart and following his commandments definitely is going to, we are going to understand. Please give me another, open the, show me Exodus 20 verse 6. It said, showing mercy unto thousands of them that love him and keep my commandment. That is the thing. That's the truth. You love God, he's going to show me. No matter where you are passing through those delay and all those things, his message will be there for you. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you, Chinedu. I will use the points you gave last, but I will use what you said. But before that, I will just try to echo something Pastor said on Wednesday. In this scripture, and it says, and he, that's God, who searches our hearts, knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Now, usually, he said, we read verse 28 in isolation, and that's what has gotten so many Christians into trouble, even to the point of death, because they don't do verse 27, which is intercession. Intercession in the Spirit, both in tongues and in groanings. So yes, we want God, it is God's desire. God's disposition towards us is always that we get to his perfect end. But it's not automatic. If someone transfers money to you, you have to do something. You have to maybe withdraw or do something about it. As much as he has done his part of putting the money in your account, there's something you have to do. For us, God has his grand plans for us, but we have to intercede. Pray, not just in the understanding, because the truth is that we don't know what God wants for us. We don't know what God wants us to do. And it's only like he says here, that he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will, not your desires. The Holy Spirit intercedes in accordance with God's will. I will know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. Now, like Virginia Du said, the last verse he used, Exodus 20, verse 6. Because we need to understand what it means to love God. It's not about singing, or not even sometimes about serving. Just like I said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And the Old Testament, God says, Moses was that, I'm showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. We're just telling them how to love God, by keeping his commandments. So you can't tell me that you love God and you don't keep his commandments. That's God's proof. Like, obedience to God is like God's number one love language. Obedience. So you obey, you obey. He gives you an instruction, you obey. And even when you seem to walk in obedience sometimes, make sure that your relationship with God is intact. Someone gave an illustration that it's like you are going on a journey. You have a GPS in your car. Now, even if you take the wrong route, like you have on Google Map, it will try to reroute you to the right path. If you like make 1,000 mistakes, the map will still try to reroute you to the right path. Now, if you turn off the GPS, you're going to miss it. Same thing with your relationship with God. Even when you seem to have made mistakes, just make sure that, like it says in 1 John 1:9, confess your sins and move on. Jesus Christ said, Peter asked him that, Master, how many times should my brother offend? He said, 70 times, 7 times. Now, if Jesus Christ could give a man that standard, that 70 times 7 is 490 times. Imagine someone offends you 490 times. That is not the devil. Now, that's the standard God gave man. How much more God towards us? So, no matter how many times you might have missed it in life, always ask God for mercy. Ask God to help you. And please, live your life like David said in Psalm 139. I think he said something like, my life is an open book before you. What that means is that everything about you is open before God. Don't try to hide anything, because he actually knows everything. But then he will only help you with what you let him, you give him access to. So your desires, the good ones, the bad ones, your dreams, your ambitions, let God know everything and let him sort it out for you. Don't try to live. We are too stupid to live life on our own. That's the truth of the matter. Like Paul said at the beginning, man was not designed to function independent of God. It's impossible. It's impossible. I was going to share my NYSC testimony, but because of time, maybe some other time, but I hope I've been able to bless you. Thank you.
We are too stupid to live our lives by ourselves.
Okay. Prof is going to pray for us, you know, but while he was preaching, then just to encourage us, you know, I just kept hearing that word. I've heard it quite a while, but I just kept hearing that word. It's good news, you know, and we're in a season, and we're at a time where God is literally going to arrest everybody. It's a good thing. You might wonder, oh my goodness, why is he going to invade my life again? But you know, there's a corollary verse that encourages me and shows me, see, God is not an oppressor like the devil that forces you to do what you don't want to do. But the reason why he said he's going to arrest young people in this coming move, and they're going to just do what he has predestined them to do, because God, you have a bright future, and the Bible says that before the foundation of the world, he's already predestined us to do things, you know, great things in store for us. Is that the Bible says that his people will be willing in the day of his power. And the reason why there is that reluctance and there's that battle and that fear, you know, presently, is because of that contrary nature that doesn't want to do God's will, or that is afraid of God's will. Adam, where are you? Adam, where are you? He couldn't find him. He said, because I was afraid. You understand? So, really, the reason why I'm reluctant to do God's will or even to know God's will is because I'm afraid. But where is that fear from? It's not of God. God has not given you a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. So, it's important that we know from the very beginning that God is for us. He's not against us. And in the course of the delay, because, you know, I've had these things, in the course of the delay, what has my focus been? Has my focus been on that thing, or has my focus been on God? Because many times in the course of the day, you now find out that you've really idolized that thing, you know. And it's important that you focus on God, like Sarah has said. And, you know, is anyone afflicted? Pray. Are you seeking God more beyond that thing? You know, he has said you are going to go to the other side, but the wind has come. Are you sick or you are getting angry? Like Peter said, are we the only one in the boat? You know, couldn't you help us? But he just woke up and said, you have little faith. You know, so in the course of these situations that we face, let us, in the place of prayer, refine ourselves, refine our focus, make sure God is our focus. You know, beyond the thing, beyond the career, beyond the thing that can become an idol, you know, that can cause an offense because it has not arrived. Keep seeking God. Keep calling upon God, you know, and you know what? You're going to get to the other side. In Jesus' name.
That clapping is not good enough. Maybe you didn't hear what he said. Praise the Lord. Pastor Lube has always taught us some things over the years. And it's been said here many times, but that's the thing. We can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. Blood of Jesus. You will always miss it on your road to becoming somebody who doesn't miss it. Let me repeat that. You will always miss it on the road to become the person that will not miss it. So constantly be under the blood. Amen. So you don't spend time in Satan's condemnation. Okay? So quick repentance. Constant repentance, quick repentance. Then stay in the word of God. Amen. The word of God, people want God to speak to them, but they don't have the word of God in them. Then I'm afraid when you now hear a voice. Because that voice does not have the ingredients. So read the word of God. Praise the Lord. It's your... those are the normal things. You keep on the word of God. Not the person who always enters the word of God because he's in trouble and wants God to speak to him. That's when he'll go and look for his Bible. No. So the blood of Jesus is constant. Reading the word of God is constant. Amen. So you have the building blocks. Don't have to, you are a boxer. You have 80 kilograms. You are fighting the champion tomorrow. They now want to eat in 3 days. Or you think you will need to face the fight. No. You're constantly on your diet for months, for years in preparation. So constantly have the word of God. You know that, the job, is it, should I go? Should I not go? Okay, where's my Bible? The Bible is not an oracle. Bible is your daily bread. Praise the Lord. It is your daily bread. So constantly stay with the word of God. Amen. Like the guy who always opens the Bible, the first verse he reads, that's what God is saying for the day. He closes it. One day he now opened the Bible and read, and Judas hanged himself. He said, God forbid bad sin. So he opened the next and he said, and go ye do likewise. Then he now stood over and said, bound the devil, now prayed. And said, God, now the word for the day. That which you have to do, do it quickly. So don't do like that. Constantly read the word of God. Amen. And then the issue of prayers and praying in the spirit. Amen. Don't be the person, when you are hearing shata, kaka, kaka, is God, is Bumi the lady? Because it's so Bumi the day. Unless, if Bumi didn't show up, we'll not hear you speaking in tongues. No. No. These are the things we do. But it makes us weak. Praise the Lord. God is good. He still takes care of us and everything. But constantly pray in the spirit for spiritual victory. Pastor taught us that. May God give Pastor a round of applause. For 30 years, he said, you need life partner. Fine, you have time to pray for it. You need job. You have time. But daily, pray for spiritual victory. Amen. Healing of all infirmities, strengthening of all weaknesses that become more conformed to the image of Christ. You pray for that daily for your spiritual victory. And then no wonder that's the seek first the kingdom and all other things will be added. So we are just learning this. I want to say basic, but the basics have been taught to us for years. We are just encouraging ourselves to put them together. Praise the Lord. So that they help us to ride the storm and become the people that God wants us to be. Amen. Let's rise up. Are you for the song?
Purify my heart. Let it be as gold.
And precious silver.
And precious
purify my heart.
Purify my heart.
Let me be as gold.
Let it be as gold.
Pure gold. Pure gold. Refine as fire.
My heart's one desire.
My heart has one desire. It's to be. Set apart for you, my master, ready to do your will.
Continue, I choose to be. Missionary many years ago. He studied about 40 years old, 50, if not more. It was missionary days. And God spoke to him, "Son, you have to go to China." China was like going to a graveyard. It was probably UK. He said, "God, I'm ready to do anything, but not go to China." So he tried to do more efforts in UK, put a lot of things in place, but his peace was going away every day. He now went to meet his spiritual father and said, "This is what I've been facing for years." The spiritual father scolded him. "How dare you? How dare you? Well, go back to God in repentance. This is that. You think you can bribe God? You think?" He went to God in weeping, in repentance, and said he was now ready to go to China. And God spoke to him, "I never wanted you to go to China. I wanted you to be willing. I needed your heart to be willing. If I said go to China, you are ready to go." He now cried so much that all what God wanted was a willing heart. And he missed that, thinking that he was going. But what's the lesson? Why are we afraid? Praise the Lord. Because I always say it. You want to stay somewhere without God being there keeping you? The only safe place where God tells you to be. Amen. Let's stop struggling. Amen. Let's stop struggling. Start to talk to God. "God, help me. I don't want to struggle with you anymore. Help me. I don't want to struggle with you anymore. I want to do your will." Talk to God. Time to keep quiet. It's time to speak to God from your heart. "Lord, have mercy. Forgive me in areas I've been struggling. Lord, make my life an open book. I open my heart. Lord, come and have your way." The best way is God's way. Tell him the best way is God's way. "Lord, come and have your way. Lord, put light on my hidden agenda. Let me only have the agenda of God." And the agenda of God is a good one to bring me to my expected end. Tell God to help you to trust him. Tell yourself, "I choose to trust God. I choose to trust God. His plans for me are that of good to bring me to an expected end." Start to round up our prayers. in Jesus' name. Our Father, we come under the covering of the apostolic and prophetic anointings of our fathers, and under you, the Almighty God. Thank you for the beauty of your word. The entrance of your word gives light and gives understanding to the simple. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed to thy word. Thy word have we hidden in our hearts, so that we will not sin against you. So this is the word of God, which is able to build us up and give us an inheritance amongst the sanctified. Also help us to build up ourselves, building up ourselves on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Father, we come against the spirit of fear, fear of the unknown, fear of the future, fear of doing God's will, fear of what God will say. Lord, all satanic lies, and Lord, all suggestions contrary to your glory in our lives, we cast you out. Amen. Destroy your works, resist and bind you. Take your old Satan over our heart, bodies, and circumstances. In the name of Jesus, we say we rise up as people of faith to trust in the true and the living God. Faithful is he that has called us, and he will bring it to pass. Father, we thank you. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Holy Spirit, we thank you. Thank you because you do exceedingly and abundantly, more than which you ask nor think, according to your power that is at work within. We say we have been set free into the liberty of the sons of God. In Jesus' name, amen.